The air suddenly turned cold and the smoke dissipated rapidly. They were below 10,000 feet and the pilot had somehow managed to vent the cabin. The plane leveled and from the windows they could see lights on the ground. "Please continue to use the oxygen masks," the pilot said in the darkness. "We'll be on the ground in a few minutes. The landing should be uneventful." Uneventful? He must be kidding, thought Lake. He needed to find the nearest toilet. Relief settled uneasily through the plane. Just before it touched down, Lake saw the flashing lights of 100 emergency vehicles. They bounced a little, a typical landing, and when they stopped at the end of the runway, the emergency doors flew open. A controlled stampede occurred, and within minutes they were grabbed by rescue personnel and rushed to ambulances. The fire in the luggage area of the Boeing was still spreading when they landed. As Lake jogged away from the plane, firemen rushed toward it. Smoke boiled from under the wings. "Just a few more minutes," Lake said to himself, "and we would be dead."
"That was a close one, sir,"
a paramedic said as they raced away. Lake clutched his briefcase with his little letters inside and for the first time went rigid with horror. The near miss and the obligatory non-stop media barrage after it probably did little to boost Lake's popularity, but the publicity certainly didn't hurt. He was everywhere on the morning news, one moment talking about his decisive victory over Governor Terry in the debate, and the next giving details of what could have been his last flight.
"I think I'll take the bus for a while," he said with a laugh.
He used as much humor as he could muster and took the high road of, "Ah, shucks, it was nothing." His staff members had different stories of breathing oxygen in the dark while the smoke grew thicker and hotter, and the reporters on board were eager sources of information, providing detailed narratives of the terror. Teddy Maynard watched it all from his bunker. Three of his men were on the plane, and one had called him from the hospital in St. Louis. It was a perplexing event. On the one hand, he still believed in the importance of a Lake presidency. The security of the nation depended on it. On the other hand, a crash wouldn't have been a catastrophe. Lake and his double life would be gone, a huge headache wiped out. Governor Terry had learned firsthand the power of unlimited cash. Teddy could cut a deal with him in time to win in November. But Lake was still standing, taller than ever now. His tanned face was on the front of every newspaper and close to every camera. His campaign had progressed far faster than Teddy had dreamed. So why was there so much angst in the bunker? Why was Teddy not celebrating? Because he had yet to solve the puzzle of the Brethren. And he couldn't simply start killing people.